coming trash. And I am a pagan. And that's why this show is called Trash Opinions.
One thing before we get going. Nobody else on
Wait, do you have the flint in your hand?
Nobody else on my team really had the courage to bring this up to you. So we actually found our other flint. This one hasn't been...
Fantastic.
Hey, listen. This one has not been struck one time. And I was wondering if there was some reasonable trade we could do. Maybe half the fishing gear, maybe just the mask, a snorkel, and a spear. Just something to put some food on the table.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it sounds reasonable.
Exactly.
Right.
I feel like you're taunting us.
I am taunting you. Put the flint back. You made the trade. Good effort.
I like the effort. It was worth the try, guys. Nobody else had the balls to do it.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Trash Opinions, where we talk all things trash. I am your host, Trash. Today, we are going to be talking about Survivor San Juan del Sur, Blood vs. Water 2. A pivotal season in the Survivor lexicon. I consider it a very modern season in the grand scheme of things, since it has a lot of elements to it that you only see in the modern Survivor world. And it's kind of cool just seeing like where a lot of it came from, meaning like the super niceness of everything and just being like, oh no, you can have this reward. No, you have this reward. No, you win. No, you win. No, I love you. Like that's how modern Survivor is. And it kind of started here. And it's a great season. Even though some Survivor fans might argue that it was for the worse. But at the end of the day, it's a popular season for a reason. Because it's good. But let's just get right on into it. But first, if you like this content, please like and subscribe. It really helps these videos reach more people in the algorithm. But without any further ado, let's get right on into it with Survivor San Juan del Sur Blood vs. Water 2. Yeah.
Sri Lankan twins Nadia and Natalie took an aggressive approach on The Amazing Race, and it failed them twice. Now they're looking to take on their biggest adventure yet and go all the way.
And help us bring it home, finally. Third time's a charm for us.
Survivor's gonna be way harder than Amazing Race.
Let me catch, Johnny, do that.
It was going!
Our blood is thicker than anybody else's blood out here. I can guarantee you that.
Nadia Anderson. Nadia does not have a lot of social tact. She opens her mouth when she really shouldn't, and she groups Josh in with the girls, which pisses off Josh, obviously.
Oh, I was coming to you with one of the girls.
Okay.
My boyfriend can tell you one of the worst things to say to me.
Because I think he has that advantage to go, you know, in between the girls and the boys. You know, I consider him part of, you know, the girls.
Is that because he's gay or just because...
I think the fact that he's gay helps me. Obviously, I'm never going to consider a straight guy girlfriend.
I don't think she's met many gay people in her life. I do think it's really cool that the loved one of the winner is the first boot. And it's like the Anderson twins close and open the season. She could have been a really great character had she lasted longer, but I have to put her in mildly entertaining.
Houston police officer Val and her firefighter husband Jeremy have an ongoing rivalry over their jobs despite being madly in love with each other.
I tried to get on Survivor for 10 years. I didn't bring her out here and leave our daughters at home
to lose.
I know that we're both in it to win it, so may the best profession win.
Val Collins.
Big woman! There you go!
Val has a fun and loving rivalry with her husband, and it's really cute. Val is the first sent to exile along with Keith, and so she starts off at a disadvantage pretty much immediately. At least she makes it worse by lying about having two idols. I'm not sure what to think of Val. On one hand, I do find her somewhat rootable, but on the other hand, I completely forget she's even on the season when I think back to it, even though her husband won a damn season 2 seasons later. She's one of the most forgettable people on the cast, and she doesn't leave an impression that lasts past her 2 episodes, and I'm sorry to say that. I'm probably gonna have to put her near the top of meh.
Former professional baseball player John Rocker was at the center of controversy 15 years ago.
I spent the last 15 years of my life trying to say I'm not the loud, obnoxious, boisterous kind of guy, but media has loved over the years, you know, to label me racist, bigot, homophobe, everything else. How's my bigot? That's the number of fighting words right there.
John Rocker. John Rocker said some racist and homosexual things in his past.
He said a whole bunch of racist and homosexual stuff.
I don't know why they wanted John Rocker so bad on Survivor. The dude is just a controversy magnet. People are going to know who he is. Nobody on the season is going to want to associate with someone with a history that involves going on the world's longest run-on sentence about blacks and gays. He's going to be an early boot. And look at that. He is. He even dragged his girlfriend, who clearly didn't want to be there, along for the ride, too. He loses in a duel against his non-athlete girlfriend, and instead of being happy for her, he's embarrassed about losing to a girl.
Losing to a girl. I just got beat by a girl.
What are you, 10? Are we in the Sandlot now? John Rocker isn't even an interesting villain. He's like if Brad Culpepper didn't have anything endearing about him. He shows the charm that clearly drew Survivor to his door by telling Natalie that if she were a man, he would knock her teeth out.
If you were a man, I would knock your teeth out.
Oh,
you look like
God.
A man.
You can knock me out, bro!
You
knock
me out!
Take all the stuff down, let's fight.
And going all, what mate? Tough guy at a challenge. He then hilariously gets blindsided with an idol in his pocket. John Rocker sucks. He's a massive douche. He's bland as paste, and he clearly hasn't changed since the 90s. Go Yankees. With great pleasure, I put him in fuck you.
Brothers Drew and Alec from rural Florida have always had a sibling rivalry. Now, younger Alec would love nothing more than to outlast his older brother in the game.
Drew and I have been going at it pretty much since I came out the womb. I mean, I'm hoping to prove to him that I can beat him at this game.
I would love to see him beat me at this game, honestly. I really would.
I'm going to give you a front row seat. If I had the opportunity to throw this game, I would. And I did. I don't know if they knew I was throwing it, but I could care less. Basically, I'm a badass and a manipulator of this game.
Kelly Dole.
You think Julie's gonna beat us?
No. My personal biggest threat right now is Kelly. She plays very low-key, but at the same time, she's very observant. And if you talk to her, you know that she has not missed one episode of Survivor. So, Kelly's a threat.
Think about it here, guys. I'm telling you. Let's get Kelly out tonight, and then all these bitches don't know what to do other than come to us. Trust me, guys. Trust me. Count on it. Look at me in the eyes. Count on it.
Drew Christie. Drew's a badass and a manipulator of this game. It's hilarious how he convinces his tribe just to eat maximum portions of rice every day, which leads them to win every challenge, and when they run out, they just trade their rewards for more. And you will stay away from tribal. It's actually kind of brilliant. Because it's not like CBS is just going to let you starve to death. Drew Christie is actually one of my favorite bad players. The guy is just so arrogant and just openly talks about his targets right in front of him. Drew forms a men's alliance and is so bad at the game that he gets blindsided by his own alliance after he throws the challenge to get rid of Kelly. I feel like I need to repeat that. He throws the challenge, and then he's the boot. It's hilarious how much he shoots himself in the foot on this season. Drew Christie, the badass, goes into hilarious.
Go, Josh.
It's me.
Weird. Working Dale, farming is the only life he's ever known. But growing up, daughter Kelly couldn't wait to make her own path.
Come on, Dad. Of all the teams, we should be able to get fire faster than this.
My dad and I, we have had an up and down relationship over the past 10 years or so. We didn't talk for probably 3 or 4 years.
But I think Survivor will help us grow back together. This will be something that we can share for the rest of our lives together.
We're a hot mess.
Kelly Wentworth. Drew was not wrong about Kelly. I'm actually amazed she was voted in by fans to return because Kelly really didn't do anything of note the entire season. In general, the Wentworths were the least memorable couple on the season. I know she becomes way cooler later, and I feel like her fans are gonna kill me for this, but she doesn't do anything for me this season, and I have to put her in meh. It's only fair.
Oh man.
No, I broke them.
Oh, you did on purpose.
Double the power.
There's a survivor. Oh my god, that's so right.
There we go, boys.
Yeah, yeah. We have fire.
Dale Wentworth.
What do you think, Natalie, so far comparing this to Amazing Race?
Nadia, excuse me.
Come on, man.
Dale Wentworth is the We Have Roger Bingham at home. Dale seems like he should be on season 3 of Survivor, not season 29. He's not a bad player per se, and he gets out of being the first boot thanks to both Making Fire and Nadia's microaggressions towards Josh, which is a plus for him. He gets mad at Missy for feeding Baylor more rice when they're low, which leads to Kelly telling him to stop being set in his ways, which brings something to the dynamic. But at the end of the day, it's Dale Wentworth. Is anyone really clamoring for more Dale Wentworth? He's going in meh.
Longtime girlfriend Julie hopes to provide him with the support they need to pitch a perfect game and get to the end.
I have a lot to prove, because everybody may say, look at the girl with the hair and the boobs and, you know, and the boyfriend. But I am very independent. I can stand on my own 2 feet. I mean, there's like 1,000 crab holes down here.
I can see him.
Yeah, there's one right there saying hello. Wait, snakes don't live in holes, do they?
Julie McGee. Julie did not want to be there. She does nothing the entire game. Watch the only reason she was there go home, and then she quits because she doesn't want John being on the pre-jury trip without her. Julie McGee ends up being an extremely unmemorable character. I kinda just feel bad for her, but I gotta put her in meh.
Longtime Survivor fans and couple Josh and Reed perform on Broadway in New York.
Oh, you got him.
And both feel they have what it takes to survive 39 days in this jungle.
Can we break the net?
The little guy went out.
We both are such fans of the game. This guy, for our first Valentine's Day, gives me Flynn.
I got him Flynn.
Hello. Josh Canfield. Josh and Reed are superfan power players, and one of them had to go, so that's where Josh gets booted. Josh is incredibly socially and strategically, and I'm actually rather shocked he's never returned, because there's an incredible player in there waiting to make a deep run.
I mean, of course, anybody who comes to me, I'm like, thank God you're coming to me. I wanted to be that person in this game. I made it, that was one of my goals. To be the person that people are coming up to me and saying, I want to work with you.
He's a bit of a game bot. There isn't much to his character outside of his relationship with Reed and his ability to strategize. I would like to see him on a return, though, and I do like him more than Reed. His conservative Christian background does add some depth to his gay identity, but at the end of the day, Josh is just kind of okay. I'll put him in good player.
Told you I have your back. If you think I have an idol, why didn't you just come to me? Don't you think that we're on the same page and we could have used it together?
Yo, how you gonna play me, though? I didn't even do that. I have his back, though.
Keith was chilling. He wasn't on anyone's radar. But now I want him gone. Because Keith,
you are a rat.
Jeremy Collins. From the start, Jeremy is a very sympathetic figure who has his relationship with his wife on full display due to how much they were featured in that opening episode. He becomes a main character, and his strategic talks are given a lot of airtime. He has a great personality and one of those shit talkers that I like.
If we had to vote somebody out yesterday, I don't know what we would have done. Like, we were all up in the air, and he's telling me this, and I'm looking at him like, come on, I know you guys are targeting me. Like, get out of here. It tells me that Keith is at least trying to play the game, but I don't think he's very good at it.
Him complaining about his tribe giving away all their stuff for a bag of rice was fun, and he just has such a mind for the game. It's no wonder he's returned twice and won one of those times. His first time around, he just has a little issue with threat management, but in all fairness, he did not have the same meat shields as his next season. He was the meat. He has a lot of substance to his character, which we will see a lot more of on Cambodia, and his first showing, he leaves an impression that makes you want to see him come back. He for sure belongs in entertaining.
Father and son, Louisiana firefighters, Keith and Wes, share a love for their job and the outdoors.
Wes. Have you already lost a striker?
It's both.
You got to quit laying stuff in the sand.
You laid it down.
This is my time to shine. It's
What about my time? Is it over
your
with?
Your time's been gone.
Gone?
It's showtime for me.
Showtime for you.
I got social aspect, physical aspect, mental aspect. I feel like I got it all.
You're about as mentally strong as that rock.
Wes Nail. Wes gets unfairly shit on and called boring for some reason, but in my opinion, Wes is fantastic. Him and Keith are such a great comedic duo together, and watching them before and after the season makes me wish they had gotten their own reality show. Wes pigging out on tacos, bringing up Jeff's cameo on 2.5 Men.
Three or four hard tacos, double cheese, double meat. Take it easy.
Of course, I didn't at all, and I was scarfing down burritos and quesadillas and margaritas and beer. I just wish I had the willpower to control myself.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Two more of them. He's going to be sick. Two more of them, babies.
Like, I'm really worried about that. It was all fun and games until I felt like crap.
Bad. All right. As long as you keep burping, I guess you're okay.
About the episode of 2.5 Men when you were naked cooking pancakes or something? Or
cooking bacon?
Bacon. Right.
That's fine.
That's awesome, dude. I love that show.
And talking about how he ate 58 nuggets in 5 minutes at a chicken nugget eating contest.
58 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes won the eating contest once. What?
You ate how many whats and won what?
58 chicken nuggets in 5 minutes.
And you won the
eating nugget contest?
Eating nugget competition? Is that an annual event?
Is so great, and I want to know, where are these chicken nugget eating contests? I want in. How much Wes seems to live for food is really relatable and endearing to me. Wes is such a fun character, and I was actually really bummed when he was idled out of the game by his own dad. Wes doesn't exactly do a lot, but I feel like he makes me laugh enough, and I like him enough to actually put him in hilarious.
I'm thinking about it. It's so crazy because all of a sudden you're like, oh, we just need to do things. Like, this is it. Like, go.
Reed Kelly.
Chocolate chip cookie.
Reed is a hot mess. He was almost the first boot had they lost the first challenge. He's the more outspoken of the Reed and Josh duo, even if he is the worst player. Reed, much like Josh, is hyper-strategic even if his social game isn't as good as Josh's. Reed is a lot more sassy and catty, much like Kobe Archer, just not nearly as iconic. He can also be kind of a dick. I kind of wanted to slap him when he was calling Missy girl. Like, dude, she is a whole ass mother and a full 15 years older than you. Do not disrespect her by calling her girl like she's a 20-year-old. I do find it hilarious that he can't successfully scramble because John's girlfriend is mad at him and they can't discuss the vote with her because she's giving him the silent treatment, so he's voted out without John being able to help Reed like he wanted to. It's pretty great. His famous evil stepmother speech at Final Tribal Council is great on a first watch, but the more times you see it, the more you realize how rehearsed and performative it felt.
You cast yourself as the motherly figure. However, fans of classic literary fiction will see through very quickly to who your true character was, which is the wicked stepmother, really, of the tribe. It's the eccentric woman who comes in and makes demands on everyone for the things to which she feels so entitled. You know, she spoils her children by perhaps giving them more rice at dinner or the best places to sleep at night in the shelter. She takes things that she's either not entitled to or didn't earn herself, which was always evidenced by the fact that you got more guineas in this game than anyone and performed the worst out of anyone at challenges. Lastly, you made the quintessential wicked stepmother move by abusing the help, which in this case was the minority alliances throughout the game. You always made sure they felt inferior, you always kept them in their place, and you always made it eminently clear that they weren't coming to the ball that is the tribal council here this evening with you. So that to me feels like your fatal flaw in your whole plan, because unlike life, in the game of Survivor, the outcasts are the one who get the final say. So in a sweeping moment of poetic justice, the people to which you were so rude and terrible to before relegating them to the jury with the help of your alliance are going to decide your fate this evening. This is why I love fairy tales, because they always have a happy ending, and the wicked stepmother never wins.
And the more you realize Baylor is unfairly a punching bag throughout the season, it is iconic, even if I'm not the biggest fan of it. But regardless, while I don't like him more than Josh, he's a lot more interesting than Josh, and Reed's hilariously messy downfall puts him in fun downfall.
What an ending to a long endurance challenge.
Yes!
That is how you do it.
Do you see this fool?
It was a smart move in making her feel as comfortable as she can, and that doesn't mean she's gonna vote with us. But it's not gonna hurt anybody. It's just kinda like cream cheese. You know, cream cheese, you can't hurt many things but putting cream cheese on it.
I can't digest this. I'm lactose intolerant.
Alec Christie. Much less douchey than his brother, but also less interesting. He really does not do much, and the Christies are one of the more forgettable duos on this season. He's more famous for being the boot that let Natalie find a path for her to the end, if anything. His relationship with Baylor is weird, as they can't figure out if they have a brother-sister relationship or they're DTF. For the love of God, pick one and stick with it.
Alec and I don't know, we do have such an up-and-down relationship, brother-sister, kind of boyfriend-girlfriend weird kind of thing.
While not a terrible character by any means, I still think he should go in, man.
Boyfriend, girlfriend, John and Jacqueline are already experienced winners. She's Miss Michigan 2013, and he played football for Michigan State.
Miss Michigan turned survivor lady.
Look at me now.
We have a phenomenal relationship.
We have fun.
But it's not all just this pretty, beautiful picture that people just love to paint.
Yeah. I don't want people to hate us and think that we're this, like, crazy, perfect couple.
John Mish. John Mish is a likable, sympathetic goofball.
I'm glad we got nails.
Yeah. Oh, we have nails!
We got official survivor bags and rusty stuff that we can get tetanus. It's like Christmas morning!
Him and Jacqueline have a really sweet story, and it's really cool how they're still married and just recently had their first kid after years of surrogacy.
Kids are definitely a huge heartstring for Jacqueline and me. As long as I can remember, I've wanted to actually have a kid. But unfortunately, Jacqueline's not able to have children.
Jacqueline was born with MRKH. It's a syndrome that affects 1 in 4,000 women.
You're beautiful.
Aww. When Jacqueline told me that she couldn't have kids, it was like, okay, so we can adopt.
He runs the season as the center of everything. Everywhere he goes, people just really want his vote. He's one of the best players on the season, and it's actually really strange he's never been brought back. John finds an idol and uses it to get himself out of a failed blindside where Keith ruins everything. John is a main character, and from an edgic standpoint, you might see him being set up for a winner edit, but instead he gets blindsided at 6th. The entire way, he is incredibly rootable and very likable. Hearing him open up about the regrets he has about shutting his father out of his life until the last couple years where he's been dying of brain cancer pushed him into one of the most rootable people on the cast.
There was an actual wine glass on it. I'm a huge wine fan. That's because my dad introduced me to wine, and he's dying of brain cancer right now. And, you know, being out here just reminds you what's important. I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is regret, because my dad and I really only started to bond a lot the past 2 or 3 years, and I could have had so much more time and could have built so much more of a relationship with him. I look back at all the years that I was stubborn and that I wouldn't let him in, and that I regret it every day. I regret so much of it.
That's what I'm talking about. This shit means something to me, man.
And it's almost a bummer that Natalie ended up outplaying him in the end. John would have been the winner I would have wanted if Natalie didn't win. End of the day, it's totally his fault for not being immediately suspicious of Natalie after she accidentally voted out Alec over Keith. John is a great character. It's a shame he's never returned. I can see a winning season in him. I'll put him in entertaining.
Mother, daughter, Missy, and Baylor are no strangers to adversity.
It's coming down here.
Missy's 3 divorces have forced Baylor to take on the motherly role in this complicated relationship.
Oh, there's 5. The divorces have definitely brought us closer. You know, whatever happens to me affects her, whatever happens to her affects me.
Absolutely. There's this bond between mother and daughter that is so unbelievable. You can't tear it apart. I mean, there's no stopping us. I mean, no way.
Baylor Wilson.
Mom, shut your mouth, homie G.
Baylor splits her lip, cries like she lost an arm, and goes full Hulk smash on her mom for it.
Go!
You're gonna say that I'm coming!
Oh.
You're right.
What's happening, Baylor? You need medical?
No.
What?
Okay.
Deep breath, Baylor.
Deep breath. Yes, let's go.
Go. Missy, much less strength. Baylor knocks her mom in the water and celebrates.
I'd be surprised if Baylor never went through a goth phase, because going through one divorce with your mom is enough to make any middle-class kid think they're dark and deep now, let alone three. Baylor kinda gets unfairly shit on. She really doesn't do anything egregious. She's being called a brat by Reed and having Keith say, if you were my kid, you would've gotten whooped 7 or 8 times already to her, and I don't think any of it is warranted. She wasn't that bad. She has an interesting dynamic with her mom, and it's where most of her notable content comes from. She also has this weird relationship with Alec that the less I think about, the better. I think Baylor's okay, and I'm happy that she has a successful music career after Survivor, even if her music doesn't sound like it would be anything I would put in my regular rotation. Baylor goes in mildly entertaining.
Basically how this works is, I'm going to try to make the Majority Alliance have 4 people vote for Keith, and then to have 3 more people vote for Wes. That's what everyone thinks is going to happen. But basically, myself, Wes, Alec, and Keith vote 4 strong, and we would be sending John home tonight. It's an amazing plan, but it has to be stuck to.
Hey, Dunn, you're exactly right. See how easy that was? And then all of a sudden, it's bam. Idols are everywhere. Idols are everywhere. I say stick to the plan. You know, at this point, that's all I can say.
Keith Nail, just stick with the plan, the line that sunk many games. Keith is comedic gold every time he opens up his mouth.
Mine was blank. Stored my life. I said, well, what'd you get, Val? She kind of hem-hawed around and,
So then what is it about your son that made him drop?
Yeah, Wes, I don't know, maybe a food weakness. I'll have a little father-son with him after we get through with this.
If terrible player, amazing character, had a face, it would be Keith's. Keith is just such a genuine dude, and I love how funny he is. His banter with Wes is some of the best in the show, and I would watch a TV show about Keith and Wes, like, fishing and shooting the shit or something like that. It sounds like a fun time.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Josh. First person to tell me that. I've been talking to him all morning.
Wesley's birthday today. Matter of fact, I woke up this morning and forgot all about it, and then Josh wished him happy birthday before I did.
All right, here you go. Happy birthday.
Aww. There you go. Roast your crab.
You got one, for real.
Him asking who raised them when Wes is getting sick from eating too many burritos is so funny, and I love his Hank Hill, that boy ain't right, demeanor about it.
Wes is a good kid. He ain't been in jail yet, you know. But he does make some mistakes. I can just give him my words of wisdom about all I can do.
Who the heck raised him? I don't know. God, dog.
That being said, he might be one of the worst players to ever make the finale. It's almost like he hasn't seen Survivor since season 10. He doesn't know what a sub-alliance is, he accidentally blows up people's games, he's not quite Tarzan tier of clueless old guy, but he's pretty close.
So I said, Keith, why don't you come to me and say, hey, do you have an idol? We're aligned.
I was looking for the idol, and I didn't find the idol. I assume, might have been wrong, I assume Jeremy had beat me to the punch.
And I'm in your alliance, so why don't you come to me?
Because if I say, okay, Jeremy, I got an idol, first thing on his head, let's put his name down.
Not if we're in an alliance. That's what an alliance is, Keith.
But it's more than 2 people, Jeremy.
Well, we could have 2 people aligned and have a sub-alliance with everybody else. We could have done that.
Sub-alliance, okay.
We could have done that, Keith.
That's a new one on me.
It's not a new one in Survivor.
I sometimes wonder what's going on in that head of his. But he is such a wonderful character his entire run. He never stops being a fun presence. He accidentally causes his son to get booted out, and he starts winning immunities out of sheer desperation until somehow making it all the way to 4th. I'm not sure if he has win equity. He was for sure liked out there. But was he respected? Gameplay-wise, probably not. His game for sure had nothing he could talk about. I don't see him having a compelling Final Tribal Council argument. He didn't even have a compelling argument to take him to Final Tribal Council. And I just really think they eliminated the GOAT at 4th. His death is also one of the survivor deaths that hit me the hardest. My heart goes out to the Nails for losing such an amazing member of their tribe. Keith will always have a special place in my heart. His big, beautiful eyes go into favorite. RIP to the homie.
I mean, I know she respects me, but the difference is she's coming to me and asking me questions. And it feels pretty good because it's like, okay, yeah, I've made some bad decisions in my life. She's had to stand by and watch them. And I felt really pretty crappy about that. It's like I get to kind of redeem myself here. And she's watching it because now she's back to being my kid. And she's listening to me. And I'm like, look, trust me on this. Follow my lead. Get in the back seat and let me drive. We're going to head down this path and we're going to be fine. But you've got to listen to me.
Missy Payne. Ah, the wicked stepmother herself. Missy and Baylor have a complicated relationship for a mother and daughter. Three divorces is absolutely insane. You'd think the third time would be the charm, but I can't imagine what Baylor had to go through watching her mom go through three goddamn divorces, let alone Missy going through those three divorces. That's a lot of wasted wedding money. I wonder if it became a joke at the third wedding, like, think this one will stick? Missy runs the season through her social game and is looked at as the mom by her entire alliance. And they even let her just win a challenge, much to Jeff's annoyance.
Yeah, you guys got two. And, yeah. And yeah, you're going to go to exam.
You guys have got two.
I'll go.
I've only had one.
Yeah, you guys haven't been to one yet.
They
haven't been to one yet.
Let me ask you guys a question. Is this going to be a friendly... We're just going to see how this goes between the five of you for the rest of this challenge?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
So.
Why are we wasting our time? I think this is just a big charade, and if really all this is we're just throwing it until we get the person we want to win, just tell me who it's going to be.
Probably my mom's going to win. I'm going to win.
Missy. Missy. Yeah. Missy.
I'm going to win.
Everybody else over here. Missy, come over to me.
She hurts her ankle and becomes extremely sympathetic mom for an arc until the end, where it just turns out to be a non-factor. Reed absolutely berates her at Final Tribal Council, and it makes you feel bad for her, even if Reed kinda does have a point. I'll put Missy in mildly entertaining.
John and I have a lot of love to give, and it doesn't matter if it's an adopted child. It's just the love that we have to give is just crazy, so... gonna be okay.
Jacqueline Schultz. Jacqueline and John become the hot couple on the block once the swap hits, and they decide where the game goes when they vote out the Wentworths over Missy and Baylor. Jacqueline is extremely sympathetic with her inability to bear children and wish to be a mom, and it's incredibly heartwarming she finally got that opportunity. Jacqueline is not nearly as dynamic or as memorable as her future husband, but she still plays a good, albeit a little chaotic game. Her not talking to John for an entire day is one of the funniest storyline beats of the entire season, and it lets the blood versus water theming bring such a unique situation to the game, your girlfriend being mad at you.
The first thing to have Jacqueline throw all this paranoia back on me, it was almost like, I thought this was... done.
Reed wants us to blindside Missy.
I already knew all of this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I won't tell
sorry.
You anymore.
I'm sorry. Hey.
No.
Hey.
No.
Jacqueline, stop.
I don't want to talk to you right now.
It's so relatable. John is just like, babe, I'm tired. I just got back from exile. Can we talk about strategy later? Which is such a boyfriend thing to say. It reminds me of someone coming home from work and not wanting to deal with whatever their partner had to deal with that day. That would never happen on a regular season. That could only be when you're playing with someone you're so comfortable with that you can be like, hey, can you just fuck off for a little bit and leave me alone? Any other season, you'd just be super eager to please, but this is hilarious. She wins final immunity after falling down pretty hard. Woo! And she has to make the choice of choosing between voting out Missy or Keith instead of realizing, hey, maybe I should just get rid of Natalie. Maybe Jacqueline wins and Missy, Keith, Jacqueline final three. Who knows? Regardless, Jacqueline is a fairly rootable figure on the season. I think it's fair to put her in good player.
But clearly, Nat balled out. Like, you gotta just give it to her. She balled out. So give her credit. You know what I mean?
Natalie Anderson. Natalie is known as a top-tier winner for pretty obvious reasons, and she changed the game of Survivor. It was also cool we got a Sri Lankan winner. She wasn't the first to Game of Fire reward, that would be my boy Yao Man, but she was the first one to popularize it and use it as a way to cement an alliance that she rode to the end.
I have a question about if we can trade positions with Edmemo on there.
You want to give up your reward? You can give up your reward.
Can I choose somebody on that team and switch?
You can give it whoever you want to.
Okay, I want to give my position up for John.
Switch.
I want to give my position up.
To who?
To Jack.
Jack. Are you guys kidding me?
Oh my God.
Jacqueline, come on over. John, come on over.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
The fact that she actually sold the idea that she forgot she was supposed to write down Keith's name when she votes out Alec and the rest of the tribe actually believe in her is either a testament to how good she is socially or that the rest of the cast might be morons. That being said, Natalie's win is awesome, and I'm so glad she won, for various reasons. I think putting yourself into a position where you're going to the finals with Jacqueline and Missy was the smart move, because she screwed over John and Baylor to get where she is, and she wasn't getting their votes anyway, so if you're gonna bring the other halves of a pair that reached the jury, it might as well be them. Natalie kicks ass. She had this extreme nice girl game where she pretended to be completely selfless and living for the rest of the tribe when she really just was after that Millie. It's the core of a successful modern Survivor game. She laid the groundwork for that modern era. She's a perfect blend of a great character and great strategist that lands her at the top of entertaining right above the original Hatch game.
Ew.
And that was San Juan del Sur. I enjoyed that. It was a very enjoyable season. A little bit of an upgrade from Blood vs. Water 1, if I do say so myself. The cast was pretty damn good. Even the people in Meh ended up being pretty top of Meh. And there wasn't a lot of duds outside of Dale Wentworth, Julie, and John Rocker. And even some of the duds went on to become amazing characters like Kelly Wentworth. But the clear MVPs of the season are Natalie and Keith. I love both of them. They're both amazing characters, and even though it shows Natalie as a B tier, she's still decently high on the overall list. Next up on the docket, we have Worlds Apart, a season I'm not very fond of. I mean, it has its ups, but I don't know. I just find a lot of the cast to be unlikable, at least the first time I watched it I did. Maybe I'll change my mind on the rewatch, since a lot of people view it as fun chaos, but we shall see next time. Anyway, if you made it this far, thank you so much. You're awesome. And leave a comment if you got to this end. Let's argue about Wes Nail being amazing in the comments. There we go. Goodbye.